The International Ministers Conference is God's strategy to set your life and ministry on course. Welcome to the International Ministers Conference.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Please, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise God. At the end of the day, what God rewards is not positions, is not titles. What He rewards is faithfulness to the call, faithfulness to the assignment, faithfulness to the vision. That's what He rewards. At the end of the day, God does not reward a title. He does not reward a position. What God will reward at the end of the day is what He said to you to do. Did you do it at the time He said to do it? Did you do it the way He said you should do it? That's what God rewards. You know, recently I was praying and the Lord brought to me the story of Saul and Ananias. How many of you remember Ananias the disciple? And I hope you know there will be no Saul who became Paul the apostle without an Ananias. Nobody was willing to associate with Saul at that time. Everybody, they were not sure even if he was saved. They thought he was a decoy, it was a trick and all the rest. And I hope you know that all that's recorded in scriptures about Ananias was that he had a vision from the Lord to go meet Saul of Tarsus, you remember, to lay hands on him, commission him into ministry. And that's all that we know of him. We don't know if he ever had a crusade. He may have had, but it's not recorded in scriptures. We don't know if he pastored a mega church. We don't know. At the same time he got a vision from the Lord, another man called Saul got a vision from the Lord. Sometimes your vision will grant you exposure. Some other times it won't grant you. What matters is who gave you the vision. And were you faithful to the vision? When Ananias gets to heaven, I actually feel like what he will be judged by is, did you go see Saul? Did you get him filled with the Holy Spirit? Did you get him on track for the assignment that I've called him? At the end of the day, what God rewards is faithfulness. And tonight, I didn't know it was even going to happen this way, but I feel it's of the Lord that I'm starting out the conference with you tonight. Because as I prayed and spent time before the Lord, just checking my heart, what exactly would the Lord have me say? The Lord said to lay a foundation. I found out that if the foundation is right, it's easy to do a lot of things. You can build anything you want to do if the foundation is right. So what we're going to do tonight is to lay a solid foundation for the conference. I believe I've seen the repertoire of ministers that are to speak at the conference, and I know that they're bringing God's counsel and God's mind. But I want to lay a foundation, take us back to the basics. Before you're a minister, you're a Christian, you're a believer. Sometimes we forget that we are first believers before we are ministers. We don't cease to be believers, we don't cease to be Christians because we became ministers of the gospel. And in that sense, I mean the fivefold offices, the helps ministry, and all the rest. We don't cease being Christians. And so many times, I think for us as ministers of the gospel, we need every now and then to go back to the basics. And today I want to share with you on the topic ministry and the burden of maturity. Ministry and the burden, the demand, the burden of maturity. And please, I want you to listen to me very carefully. Ministry and the burden of maturity. Let it be said from the outset that ministry does not confer automatic maturity. Let it be said from the outset that being a minister of the gospel, being called into any form of ministry, does not in and of itself confer any form of maturity. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 16. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 16. Let's start out from there. It says, "Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child." And I need you to know this. He didn't say that children cannot be kings. But he says, "Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child." Look at what he says next. He says, "And thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles. I want you to observe something. He's not talking here just about age. Because if he said, "What to thee, O land, when thy king is a child," then the next verse should have said something like, "Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is an adult." But that's not what he says. He says, "When he's the son of nobles." So he's talking about mindsets. He's talking about ideologies. He's talking about philosophies to life. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, he's not talking about chronological age here. And it's worth mentioning as well that there's the teaching of spiritual growth, which is important. I mean, and any one of us here, or ministers of the gospel, chances are that you've taught several series on it. You know all there is to know about spiritual growth. But let's make a bit of a distinction between spiritual growth and maturity as it comes to spiritual things, and particularly ministry. For example, you can have a child of 20 years of age or 25 years of age, and you have another child of 15 years, and then you look at the 15-year-old child and you say, this boy is more mature than this 25-year-old child. In essence, he's way more grown, 25 years of age, 30 years of age. Have you seen people act in a setting where you say, did they say he's 30? Did they say he's 25 years? And the reason you're saying that is because there's no match between his chronological age and the maturity that is expected of him. Are you still with me tonight? And one of the things that we have to look critically into in the body of Christ is the issue of ministerial maturity. It's very important. Many revivals die because of ministerial immaturity. The move of God, can I tell you something? You know, there are disciplines we can give ourselves to, and we force, as it were, we impress certain things to happen in the natural. We can fast and we can pray. We can wait on the Lord 40 days, fast and follow the principles, and a move of the Spirit is created. The truth of the matter is, these things are clear. Hosea tells us about it, Hosea chapter 6, he tells us about it, that if we follow on to know, we shall know. He's coming forth, he's going forth, he's as prepared as the morning. In essence, there is no mystery around it. If we set ourselves to practice certain principles, there are certain results that we'll get. But the longevity of ministry, our relevance on the long run, and ultimately fulfilling God's plan for our lives is very much tied to maturity. Now, let me quickly say this to you, that activity does not always mean progress. Busyness does not always mean progress. I've said this several times in several places. The children of Israel, many times when we read their story, we think that they were traveling every day. Can I ask you a question? Can you be working every day? I mean, you're working from morning to night. Then it's only at night you sleep. The next morning by 6 a.m., you work from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. I hope you know they didn't have cars and all the rest. If you actually read it, Bible theologians tell us that there were times where they were on the same spot, in the same location, for as long as 10 years within that 40 years. So it wasn't as though every day they were working. There were times they were at the same location. Now, can I ask you a question? Were they stagnated? No. Were they making progress? Yes. But were they moving? No. Progress is not activity. It's being in the will of God. It's being where God wants you to be part-time. And please, I want you to listen very carefully tonight. He says, blessed is the land whose king is the son of the princes. Blessed is the land, blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and for, not for drunkenness. So you see clearly that Solomon here was referring to something far more than just chronological age, to mindsets, perspectives, attitude, and character. Say that with me: mindsets, perspectives, attitudes, and character. Now, can I tell you something? These four things is what determines at the end of the day how far your anointing will go. These four things are the things that will determine how far your ministry will go. These things are the things that will determine, no matter how gifted you are. One of the biggest challenges I see in this generation is there is so much emphasis on giftedness and the anointing, and you don't realize that that is important, but it's not the major. I'm going to show you from scriptures in just a bit. It's not the major. It's not the major thing. It says, blessed art thou, O land, when thy princes is the son of nobles, in essence, there is an upbringing, there's a training to his mind, there's a way he reasons, and there's a way he behaves, there's a way he conducts himself, and he says the longevity of that throne is dependent on this thing. Are you still here tonight? So we're talking about ministerial maturity. Ministry confers on you the moment you come into an awareness of the call of God on your life, the moment you come into a place, into a position, into an assignment, whether it's the shepherd over your life that set you into that place, or you say, I went into prayer and then, you know, I heard God and God spoke to me, I saw a vision. The moment that happens, you have to understand that it confers on you what is called the burden of maturity. And the reason is this: God always calls higher than where we are part time. In essence, God never speaks to where you are. Please listen very carefully to me tonight. He never speaks to where you are. He never calls where you are. Do you remember Gideon? When the angel came to meet Gideon, and then he says, go and deliver the children of Israel. What did Gideon say? He said, listen, I'm the least in my father's house. My father's house is the least in the clan. The clan is the least in the tribe. And lest you forget, my tribe is the last born of Israel as well. In essence, if you are taking the roll call of Israel, I will be the last person to be called. Now, what did the angel say? Sorry, don't worry. God will use you like that. The angel acted as though he had said nothing. And then he said to him, he said, rise up, go in this thy might, thou mighty man of valor. So God does not speak to where you are. Are you following what I'm saying here? When he calls you into something, when he gives you an assignment, you have to understand that there's a growing into it that is expected. There's a developing into it that is expected. And say that you know what this entails. Many times you find people and you're wondering how come people started out with so much potential. You're wondering how come we expected this much about this person. So great gifting, so great anointing, so great manifestations. And it would seem as though at the end of the day, the people who pull through do not seem as gifted as those who did not pull through. And I can tell you the reason is very simple. The issue of ministerial maturity. And I'm just going to start tonight. I have something prepared for the next session. But if that's all I'm able to share in this conference, I believe that I would have delivered the part that God wants me to deliver. The need of the church today, particularly in Nigeria, is not men who can sound deep or who can preach great. It's mature ministers. That's the greatest need. And take it from me, that's the greatest need. Everything we're celebrating today, I can tell you, there is a time limit to it if men don't rise up into maturity. There is nothing we're celebrating in Nigeria today that has not been celebrated in history. And you'll be shocked at the way they died. And as though, well, let's even start from the Bible. I hope you know that today, present-day Turkey, that is largely an Islamic nation, is the Ephesus of your Bible. The Ephesian church, be not drunk with wine. In essence, God can move so mightily in a place, and years after, there is no evidence that God ever came there. Is somebody listening to what I'm saying here? So it is possible to be thrust into leadership and into authority without the required maturity to manage it. Ministry is not a proof of maturity. The calling on your life is not a proof of maturity. The titles and the offices that you stand in currently is not a proof of maturity. It is simply a call for maturity. Now, let's state clearly here that there is nothing that puts your spiritual maturity to test more than ministry and marriage. It's not a marriage seminar, but it's the truth. I hope you know that there is nothing, maybe I should flip it the other way around, marriage and ministry. There is nothing under heaven. You know, you can be in choir together and all of you are having fun together, enjoying fellowship together and all the rest. And, you know, you're walking in love. And maybe, you see the person only when you come for choir rehearsals. Now, if you're married, I hope you know you see them 24/7, every day, there's no break. There is no, I'm taking a break. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Nothing under heaven puts your spiritual maturity to test more than ministry and marriage. Now, let's focus here on ministry.
You're going to have to deal with people. Can I tell you something? And because it's a minister's conference, we can say this. And this, I mean, I've heard Pastor Ben Hinn talk about it as well. When Catherine Kuhlman was on her deathbed, on the sick bed in that hospital there, and Oral Roberts and his wife, Evelyn Roberts, went to pray for Catherine Kuhlman. Now, Catherine knew that if Oral prayed for her, she was going to get healed. At that time, the two foremost healing evangelists on earth, on the face of the earth, was a woman and a man. Catherine Kuhlman on one hand and Oral Roberts on the other hand. And interestingly, they were best of friends. They were best of friends. So when Oral heard that Catherine was ill, he went to the hospital. And this was what Oral himself said. He said the moment they got into the hospital, they could sense, they heard angelic singing. As in, they could sense the glory of God in that hospital. So they went to her bedside and laid hands on her. This was Oral's whole account. Listen to what Oral Roberts himself said. He said the moment, and if you know anything about Oral Roberts, he had a sign where he knew that the anointing was there to minister healing to people. He said the moment he laid hands on Catherine, he said the anointing literally flowed out of his hand. And he knew, because he had been in crusades years upon years, he knew without fail this woman was going to get healed. He said, but as he was praying, Evelyn tapped him and said, look at her. Tapped him, because his eyes were closed. Tapped him, that's his wife, Evelyn. And Catherine, because she couldn't talk, she stretched her hand and pointed this way. She said, and Evelyn said, she does not want to be healed. She wants to go home. Leave her. Oral said no. Catherine kept pointing her hand. Finally, Oral left it off. Within a few hours, she was dead. Later on, a very close associate said something. She said, Catherine, she didn't think that maybe that should have been the end, but Catherine was so offended and betrayed. And she said, I can't have spent my life laboring over people like this, and this is how I'm repaid. She said, I'm done. I want to go home. Listen, if you're going to do ministry, you have to understand that it will test your maturity to the limits. Bishop Oyedepo was asked at his 60th year birthday, they asked him, what's your greatest blessing on earth? And he looked at them, he said, my greatest blessing are people, my greatest curse are people. Nothing under heaven. Listen, nothing. There's nothing under heaven that will test your spiritual maturity more than the assignment of ministry. Now, if it is going to put it to test, then we must ensure we are made of the right material. Are you following what I'm saying? We must ensure that we are not all show and no substance. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? We must ensure that we are not all public manifestation and no inward substance, no inward strength to handle what life will throw at us. So please know this. Nothing will put to test your spiritual maturity more than ministry and marriage. Now, our ultimate assignment as ministers, listen very carefully here, is to bring people into maturity. Irrespective of the offices that we stand in. Ephesians chapter 4, you read from the 11th verse, talking about the fivefold offices, whether prophet, evangelist, teacher, and all the rest, down to verse 15. He tells us what these fivefold offices are to do, to bring the saints into what? Maturity. That we may all grow up into the nature and the stature of Jesus Christ. Now, the question here is this. You can see that as well. And Apostle Paul's ministry, Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29, he talks about it. He says that wherein we strive, warning every man, preaching to every man, admonishing every man with the effectual working of Christ on the inside of us, that we may present every man mature. The word perfect there is mature before God. So all that Paul was doing, the healings, the miracles, the conferences, the organization, the administration, moving from place to place, had one assignment. That we may present all men mature before God. That we may present all men what? Perfect before God. Now the question here is this. If that's our ultimate assignment, even though the route to it may differ, but the evangelist is by your crusades, but the teacher is by what you do, by teaching, but the pastor, all of us have different tools, but at the end of the day, the product of ministry is not a healing. The eventual final product of ministry is a transformed life. The eventual final product of ministry is a mature believer. No, so irrespective of what we do, irrespective of the accolades and everything that we do, what we are looking out for is, are people maturing into the stature of Jesus Christ? Now, here's the question. If this be the assignment that God has given to us, it must mean that those who will take people to maturity must have tasted maturity. Now, maturity is not a destination. It's not an end. Pardon me. Maturity is not a bus stop. It's a journey. Are you following what I'm saying here? In essence, each and every one of us have to be consciously aware that we are on a journey. I'm improving. My perspectives are changing. Are you following what I'm saying here? My attitude to things is changing. My response to life is changing. If this had happened last year, this is how I would have responded to it. Now it's happening. Look at the way I'm responding to it. Are you getting what I'm saying here? We must be seeing that progress in our lives. Else what will happen is this. We will have so much show on the external and very little substance on the inside of ourselves. Are you following what I'm saying here? So irrespective of the call of God on our lives, irrespective of the ministry, irrespective of the offices and all the rest, the assignment is to bring people into maturity. And if that's our job, then it must mean you can't take people to a place you have not been. Are you following what I'm saying? That's the job of ministry. You have to go somewhere and then lead the people to the place that God has taken you to. That's the job of ministry. Number three thought here. Very important. Now, fulfilling your ministry. And because I always say to people, let's remove the idea of success in ministry from our minds. The moment you start using that word, you are using corporate terms, you're using entrepreneurial terms that can put you in trouble. Because at the end of the day, how do you measure that something is successful, say that you compare it to another? Are you getting what I'm saying? In essence, you realize that where only the tortoise is running, he's the fastest runner as long as there's only worms that you have in that place. But the moment you have a cheetah or a lion in that place, immediately what was successful becomes a failure. Not because it's a failure, but because it's compared to another. In fact, the Lord said something to me in prayer. He said, nothing is small until it's compared. Nothing is small until it's compared. Please listen to me tonight. Nothing is small until it's compared. When we use that term success in ministry, it puts a pressure upon us to match up with something that we are seeing on the external. Now, can I tell you something, pastors, ministers of the gospel? There is something that's called being provoking one another to good works. In essence, I can see what's going on in another person, in another ministry, and be inspired by it. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Because you can be provoked to good works and see that, oh, look at what God is doing, and you rejoice and celebrate about it. But then there's a thin line between being provoked to good works and comparison. There's a thin line. And can I tell you what that thin line is? The ability to see what God is doing with another, maintain joy on the inside of yourself, and not change your direction. That's the thin line. Too many people are revivalists today because that's what God has put the spotlight on. And God did not call you to preach revival. We'll come to that. You now have sermon series on revival because you've done YouTube assessment. You've gotten data analysts to analyze for you, and they say, what are the keywords now? So they analyze that if there's revival there. So fulfilling your ministry, not just being busy in ministry, requires maturity. Nobody can fulfill the call of God on their lives. And please note what I said, fulfilling your ministry, not just being busy and not success in ministry. Because Paul said, made a very sobering thought in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. He says, every man's work shall be tested. He didn't say, did you not work? He says, every man's work shall be tested. It shall be passed through fire. He says, many people's works will be burnt. They will suffer loss of the work. They are the only ones, in essence, there are things people will clap for here by the time we pass it through fire. There are things people will clap for here. People will scream. Are you following what I'm saying here? People will say, this is glorious. This is commendable. Paul says, by the time we pass it through the fire, he says, the man himself shall be saved, but he shall suffer loss of everything. You know why? God does not reward what was successful. He rewards what he commanded. Is somebody following me here? And can I tell you, ministers of the gospel, something here? One of the marks of maturity, we are going to come to it, is the ability to stay focused. It's one of them. Listen, when you see people who are tossed to and fro, a new doctrine comes, they jump on it. Another doctrine comes, they jump on it. You can see, those are babes. Are you getting what I'm saying? In fact, he tells us that Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the mark of maturity, says, we are not moved by every slight of doctrine. In essence, one of the ways you know a mature person is their ability within winds that are blowing, and it may look as though this thing is the vogue and all the rest, to stay with whatever it is that God has shown them and that God has said to them. Are you following what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, to fulfill the call of God on your life, tell Archippus to take it to fulfill the ministry that he has received of the Lord. If we're not talking about success, fulfilling the ministry, which means standing before the master and receiving from him his approval, well done. Pastors, hope we have not forgotten. We are going to stand before Jesus. All this thing we are doing, I hope you have not forgotten. That the next time you hold the mic to sing, you are going to stand. That standing here, I will stand before the Lord Jesus to give an account of the things that I've done in my flesh. Are you following what I'm saying here? Hope we have not forgotten. You know, like many people, we think that the report card is marked here. Can I tell you, ministry report card is not marked on social media. It's at the judgment seat of Christ. Are you still here? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Let's look at a few scriptures here. The demand for maturity. Woe to that ministry. Woe to that land. Woe to that organization. When thy princes, your kings, are immature. They are children. It says, but blessed is that land. In essence, you can be trusted into it even though there's no maturity. But blessed is that land. Blessed is that kingdom. Blessed is that organization, that ministry, when your princes are the sons of nobles. They understand certain things that is not available to just everybody else. 1 Timothy, are you there? Chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Are you getting anything tonight? Look at what it says. It said, take heed unto yourself, number one, and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I want you to note how Paul puts it. He says, take it unto yourself, number one, unto the doctrine, number two. Continue in them. It says, for by doing this, thou shalt also save who first? Come and talk to me. Who first? Thyself and them that listen to thee, them that hear thee. Luke chapter 1, verse 80. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. You see the importance of maturity there when it comes to ministry. John the Baptist, we're told, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. Was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. What was he doing? Waxing strong in spirit. Chapter 2, verse 40, speaking about Jesus, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. Say with me, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was what? Upon him. So you see how that before they tell us about their ministry and the great things they were doing, the writer seems to want to let us see something. Almost as though this is an imperative for what I'm about to say. Before we start talking about the miracles and the powerful teachings, I want you to see something that happened in the life of these individuals that's like a foundational thought before you start talking about those big things. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, let's quickly say this here about ministry. That gifts and callings are an election of grace. Are you following what I'm saying? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, Paul speaks about it. He says that this grace that I stand in, this ministry I stand in, it's simply by the election of grace. All right? So gifts and callings are an election of grace, not a function of spiritual maturity. Romans chapter 1, verse 5, you see it as well. Whereby we have received grace and apostleship for obedience and faith unto all the nations. In essence, anything you stand in as an office within the body of Christ is an election of grace. And the thing with grace is this, is that you don't merit it, you don't qualify for it. Are you following what I'm saying here? You don't have to merit it, you don't have to qualify for it, you don't have to work for it. It is not based on you fulfilling certain terms. Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't enter into this because you fulfill certain terms. How many of you have read what Paul said about his calling into ministry? He said, I thank my God who counted me faithful. putting me into the ministry? When did he count him faithful? Come on, talk to me. At what point did God count him faithful to have put him into the ministry? Did you read about Jesus Christ, the heavens opening over Jesus at the Jordan? And he said, this is my beloved son in whom I have well pleased. I hope you know he had not performed one miracle. He had not raised one dead. He had not taught one sermon. Yet that approval had come. In essence, when we talk about callings, offices, positions within the body of Christ, it is an election of grace. However, what you do with it is not an election of grace. Somebody following what I'm saying here? What you do with it is not an election of grace. However, the gift of itself and the calling of itself is an election of grace. You have to know as well that supernatural experiences, demonstrations of the gift and power does not necessarily equate spiritual maturity. This is important for us to note. The fact that there's great manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So I stand here and then I wave my hand and everybody goes under the power. And then 10 people on the wheelchair stand up there does not necessarily mean that the one standing there is spiritually mature. Is somebody following what I'm saying? The Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. He didn't say those who are mature. These signs. Now, if you read the previous verse there, he says that going to all preach the gospel, he says, he that believeth. So he's referring to people that receive your message. And he says, the moment they receive your message, the capacity for the supernatural is buttered in them. Are you following this here? You see, because here's one of the biggest problems. And if you're not careful, even as a gifted minister, you will think that because there is the charismata, I am making progress in the things that matter the most. Go and ask Saul. He was on his way to kill David. He came into the company of prophets. He prophesied all night long to the point that he took off his clothes. He was naked. Have you ever prophesied like that? So calm down. Have you ever prophesied to the point your clothes left? Say, hey, I toss here the Lord. Toss here the Lord. The whole night prophesying. Pastor, do you know what he did when he woke up the next morning? He carried his sword to go and kill David again. Is somebody following what I'm saying? In essence, you can carry the mic and sing powerfully. People are really blessed. People are crying. And you leave that stage and there is someone you have sworn I will never speak to again in my life. And everybody looks at it and they say, ah, powerful sister. And the yardsticks of maturity in the kingdom are far different. Apostle, you know what the Lord said to me that, literally changed my life. He said, gifts are given, fruits are grown. In essence, the proof of growth is a fruit, not a gift. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? Gifts are given, which means in the election of grace, he gives the gift. But fruits are grown. And that already lends you to something I'm going to talk about when it comes to maturity, God's yardstick for maturity. You read the Corinthian church. Do you remember Paul said that you are yet carnal, you are babes? How many of you remember that he said that about the Corinthian church? He said, you are yet carnal, you are babes. Yet in chapter 1, I believe verse 14 or so, he says that you do not come behind in any spiritual gift. I mean, they demonstrated so much spiritual gift that Paul had to write an entire chapter, about 3 chapters, to explain spiritual things unto them. And he ended it by saying, let everything be done decently and in order. Do you understand what it is? That in... I mean, people are still looking for how somebody will prophesy. Paul was saying, it's too much. All of you, everybody. He had to put order to say, listen, when the prophets are speaking, it should be by 1, by 2, by 3. I mean, such a demonstration of the gifts of the Spirit. Yet he said to them, you are babes. Can I tell you something? You can demonstrate great power and be a babe. Somebody follow what I'm saying? So please, thank you. Let's not equate a manifestation of the Spirit, great anointing demonstrated, with spiritual maturity. As ministers, please listen very carefully to me. We must be able to define for ourselves in clear terms what God calls maturity. I mean, you are not, on one side wondering, is it this, is it that? You are not. You know clearly that this is the goal. You know clearly that this is what God is looking at. You know clearly that these are the things that God is watching out for. If you can't define it, you can't be it. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why we have to be able to define it. Let me add a third one before we go into exactly what spiritual maturity is. Sounding deep and throwing great rhema and rev is not necessarily spiritual maturity. You see, because one of the things I've realized is that people think if I'm complex, if I sound deep, and if I sound complex, then, and you know, a lot of people think that's really deep. And then we say things that people don't even understand what we said. Can I tell us, communicators of the gospel, ministers of the gospel, the proof that you know something is your ability to simplify it. That's what shows us that you know it. All this, you can't get it. So why are you here? Is it not for us to get it? There are a lot of nuances we are put on the stage, and you may not know that these are just personal idiosyncrasies. The Bible speaks about Jesus that the commoners heard him gladly. In essence, the person who didn't go to school heard Jesus. He understood what he was saying. And there will be no greater communicator than Jesus. Are you following what I'm saying? So sounding deep, in fact, the Bible says knowledge puffeth up. Are you following what I'm saying? And have you not found out that many a times, people who like to sound deep, there's an air of arrogance that they carry. There's an air of, you know, we know something that you don't know. We have something that you don't have. Apostle God said to me in prayer, he said, son, carry grace with humility. I've not forgotten those words. He said, irrespective of the grace I apply to your life, make sure all your life you carry it with humility. There's an air of arrogance. By just 5 minutes into the conversation, you just see that there's that air of knowledge perfect up. But charity edify it. Now, how do we define maturity? 1 Corinthians. Paul gives us what to look out for. Chapter 13 and verse 11. And I want, please, everybody to note this scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. Are you getting anything tonight? It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. Can we all read together? I want you to please understand what Paul is trying to say here. Want to go? When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. Read on. All right, read it again. Want to go? When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childishness. One more time. When I was a child, number one, speak. Say with me, speak. Speaking, speech. Number two, what does he say? I understood as a child. So Paul is putting a distinction between a child and a man. And he says the way you know a child from a man is in their speech, their perspectives, and in their thinking patterns. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? Now, please hold on here. Hold on here. Don't forget that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is sandwiched in between 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And that in chapter 12, he just gave us a list of the spiritual gifts and how powerful those spiritual gifts are. Are you following what I'm saying? And then in chapter 14, he goes into tongues, explaining this phenomena of tongues, and sandwiched in between, he says, let me show you the true mark of maturity. Somebody follow what I'm saying here? Don't forget that this is the love scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So we're going to come back to this in just a bit. How that the context of verse 11 is love. So he says, when I was a child, he didn't say I spoke in tongues more than ye all. I did not speak in tongues then. When I became a man, I spoke in tongues more than ye all. No. He didn't say when I was a child, look at those nine gifts that I just explained to you in chapter 12. When I became a man, everything began to manifest in my life. How did he describe? I need you to understand this. You are reading this epistle. You're like, what? I mean, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. My God, are prophecy, tongues and interpretation, gifts of healings. You are seeing all of these massive manifestations. You are reading about tongues, interpretation of tongues, and everywhere, you know, the whole place, it's a Holy Ghost meeting. Everybody's excited. Then he looks at them and says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought like a child. I understood as a child. But now that I am a man, I have put away childish things. The way children speak, the way they think, and the way they understand things. In essence, I hope you know, what you say, what you think, your perception determines your attitudes and your character. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? This is important. So sandwiched between this massive teaching on spiritual gifts and all the rest, he gives us the true mark of maturity. It's in speech, thoughts, perceptions. Apostle, one day I was seated with a minister. And I mean, there are things I can't say publicly. I was seated with a minister and a senior minister. And for almost 1 hour, the conversation was from one minister to another. Ah, where I was, I mean, because he was a senior minister, my wife knew I was, that God forbid I'm found where they are talking about people. Ah, God forbid. He was from one, you know, this one is doing this one. He's wrong. He's not right. God, it's one of the worst days of my life. I stepped out of that place and I said to my wife, I said, this is the last time I will ever be in close proximity with this person. Can I tell you something? When you come close to people, you carry two things. You carry their grace and you carry their ideologies. Now, here's the thing. I can tell you for free that ideologies will determine how far grace goes. Is somebody following what I'm saying? In essence, okay, Lord, I'll say a few things. Are you still here? You get it right? Okay. So he said, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. So maturity is measured in perspectives and character, not flows and moves. Are you following what I'm saying? Maturity is measured in attitudes and ideologies, not depth and graces. Are you following this here? So a man can seem to have depth and not be mature. I hope you know that when you stand in an office, the anointing on that office brings certain things into your life. For example, if you listen to a teacher, if they are going to be sincere with you, it is not everything they see on the stage that they thought of before. At least 40% of it is the flow of the grace on that office. And many a times we will have to go back and say, ah, I never saw that. And then you start studying further. In essence, that's why Elisha, even though he had double portion of the anointing, when he died, his bones could raise the dead, yet he died of sickness. That's why a preacher, I mean, I don't know if it's a simple MacPherson or who was it, that they will carry her up the stage on a wheelchair or something like that. She couldn't stand up. One of the women evangelists couldn't stand up because she was ill. By the time her leg hits the stage, the anointing comes upon her. She jumps up. She will go on the stage. She will raise people out of the wheelchair. And by the time she gets down the stage, she goes back into her wheelchair. And you're wondering, how is it possible for her to heal the sick in that measure? And then she goes back to her wheelchair. Say with me, it's an office. It's an office. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's an office. So we can't measure maturity by that. Is somebody following what I'm saying? What we are looking for is, what are your perspectives? What are your ideologies? What's your philosophy to life? When you begin to mature, it shows in three areas. Three critical areas. I'm going to focus on just one tonight. I'll list the three, but I'll focus on one tonight for the sake of time. three critical areas where it begins to show up. Number one is in a personal proficiency in the use of the word of God for yourself. This is important. I have found out that we can teach faith as ministers and not practice faith for our ministries. And we can teach solid faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? The first place it shows up is in you using the word, becoming proficient in the use of the word of God for yourself in your private life, where the word of God begins to determine your perspectives. The word of God determines your outlook to life. How can we come up the stage and say, the joy of the Lord is your strength? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Everybody here, get joyful. Don't allow Satan steal your joy. And then the average pastor will leave that place and sink down into depression because he didn't see the number he wanted in church. And I can tell you for free because I count, where God has placed me, I can tell you for free how that many people, ministers of the gospel, are dealing with heavy weights of depression. We are wondering if this thing is, and the question is, when we climbed the stage, what did we preach? What did we tell the people? The Lord said something very powerful to me, and this is why many times you can have somebody busting great word, but the lives of the people are not changing. You know, I told you that the specific product of ministry is change lives. Mature believers. God said to me, you don't change people by what you know, you change people by who you are. So you can know so much, but in what measure have you worked that into your own life? Are you getting what I'm saying? In what measure have you worked that into your own life? We tell the people God will show up for them. God will show up for you. It's Jehovah El show up. He always shows up at the right time. And then we go back and we are warned. Are you getting what I'm saying here? We tell the people that God is your source. God is your source. Don't look to men. God is your source. But we go back and we send text message to 10 people. Can I talk to ministers here tonight? You say God did it, but we know his phone did it. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? Where do you get the credibility and the audacity to tell people to believe God and to look to God when you are looking to the church? Where do we get the audacity from? How can we tell people God is going to show up for you and all the rest, and you know you are preaching it powerfully, but then a need shows up in your own life and the church is your answer? Or some rich fellow in church is your answer? Can I read you a scripture? Are we still here together? Because it's not the word you preach that changes you or grows you or matures you. It's the word you do. Nobody ever got fed because he cooked a nice meal. Cooking the meal never feeds anybody. Preaching is cooking. Everybody gets fed the same way. It's a. Somebody following what I'm saying? And can I tell you something? True character in ministry is built when you apply the word of God to adverse situations. That's where character is built. Keith Butler said something. Bishop Keith Butler. He said the church was just growing at the time. And his associate pastor, they were doing a building project, and you know, and all the rest. His associate pastor at that time got a call from God or from hell, we don't know, to go and start his own thing. So he started a rebellion. I said, Brother Keats is doing this, he's doing that, he's doing this. And then the church broke into two. Now, not two equal halves. Are you getting this? All the boys that were working class left with associate pastor. And he was left with students. That's what Keith Butler said. And he said, you know, that means building funds has moved. He was offended. He was in prayer talking to God, and God said, you take a seat and go and meet that person. Then you sow it into his life.
Tell me, do the word. He says, bless them that persecute you. That's where character is built. Can I tell you something? Bless them that persecute you. The Greek word for bless. Them. The Hebrew intonation of the Greek. Persecute. Five Greek words translated. When you finish preaching it, you have not matured. It's until somebody persecutes you and you bless them that you mature. Studying about dumbbells does not grow muscle. Are you get what I'm saying? You can study, you see, the roundness of the dumbbell, the diameter is coordinates to this and that and that. You have pot belly. You get what I'm saying? With all that knowledge. Apostle, he took the seed to this guy. As he gave the guy said, all right, thank you. Well done. Associate pastor. The guy just said, church down the road. Well done. Keith Butler said, now, Keith Butler was a martial artist. He said he wanted to beat him. Beat him. As he left the place, God said, I have given you this land. You just passed the test. Are you following what I'm saying? Say with me, maturity. Is ministry you want to do, right? You say you are called, right? Okay. Because many of us think it's prayer. Randa, manga, yaga. But when you finish, you now come and meet real people. That one is with angels. Do you get what I'm saying? Angels are nice. They'll be fanning you with their wings. You'll even be feeling breeze. Are you still here? My time is past spent, so let me just wrap up here. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Let me show you something very quickly here. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, quickly. I've not even gotten in. Maybe we'll get into that one tomorrow. He says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Next verse, verse 12, quickly. But when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teacher again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Next verse. Can we all read this verse together? I want to go. For everyone that use it, hold on, not know it. Say with me, use it. Not know it. Say with me, use it. Say with me, use it. Milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. Are you following what I'm saying here? So it is skill in the use of the word, not just the knowledge of the word. Are you following what I'm saying here? What he's looking at here is not your accumulation of knowledge, but the use of it. You can stand here, sir, and teach us that the Greek word for faith is pistis. Sir, where is it in your life? Where is it? Where is it? Look at what it says. For everyone that uses milk, not know it. It takes away, you know, because in our minds, once you know, you have grown. But it says, he that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. Next verse. Can I have the last verse there? Everybody, let's read together. I want to go. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of... Hold on. By what? Not those who know it. And maybe I should just quickly say this as I wrap up here. That what we call milk and meat is not, you know, some people say meat is revelations. Milk is songs of Solomon. They are the deep. No. That's not what he's saying. John 3:16 can be milk for someone and can be meat for another person. In essence, what are you deriving from inside it? What is it producing for you? And I want you to observe that Paul immediately takes away our focus from just knowledge to use. The number one mark of maturity, a proficiency in the use of the word of God for yourself. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Number two, let me just list the other two for you. Is finding and following faithfully God's plan for your life. Finding and following faithfully God's plan for your life. There's a race set before you. It's not set before everybody else. It is set before you. You're not carried away or swayed away by what's reigning or what's working. You'll find your place. I told you earlier on that one of the marks of spiritual maturity is the stability.
Are you following what I'm saying here? Focus and stability. You find your place and you stay in your place. You're not swayed by every new doctrine. You have a clear sense of purpose. And lastly, the third part of maturity, which is the core of it, is a vital love walk. We're going to talk about that tomorrow morning. A vital love walk. Nobody on earth can call themselves mature if they don't have a love walk. Are you following what I'm saying? So the calling to ministry, the assignments that we have, the places that we stand in, does not confirm maturity. It's a call to maturity. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, let these words be expounded in the hearts of everyone here tonight. Let the Holy Spirit take them, apply them to our unique situations, apply them to where we are, and bring us into the fullness of the truths in the name of Jesus Christ. From this conference, let men arise. Men will come in as children, we will come in at different levels, but let men arise from this conference. Men upon whom you can place the burden of the work. Men upon whom you can place the responsibility with no fear whatsoever. Let such men arise from this conference in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, do a work in our hearts that can never be erased. Do a work in our hearts that can never be reversed in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. For this and many more, we give you praise and we thank you. As the conference continues, let the waters grow deeper. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME. To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of these account details. 22150052 89 UBA.